What was it, or what is it that you regret? Can you imagine? I want you to think about it. Okay? Cast your mind on a moment you regret. Have you remembered something? Okay, how does it make you feel? Okay? All right. Then I want you to answer the next question. What do you regret about that moment? And what can you change? If you have the power to go back in time, if you have the power to replay that moment, what is it that you would change? Okay? Can you do me a favor? Can you write down that moment for me? Okay, can we put it? I want you to capture it. I want you to write down that the moment you regret. If you have a pen, write it down. And what one thing would you change? We've been looking at the theme for the month, that God has set a table before you. And one of the biggest tragedies in life is what you said when I asked you, what one thing would you change about the thing you regret? And a lot of you had this answer: if I knew what I know today. If that was one of the things you said, I want you to just smile. Don't raise your hand, just smile. If I had known some of the things I know today, back then I wouldn't have made that mistake. I wouldn't have lost that opportunity. So let me paint a picture to you. I want you to turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 19. Luke 19. I want us to start reading from verse number 41. There are only three times in the Bible when Jesus wept. Do you know the difference between weeping and crying? Does anybody know the difference between weeping and crying? Okay. But there are only three times in the Bible when Jesus wept. And this was one of those moments. Reading from verse 41 of Luke chapter 19. The Bible said, and when he was come near, he came near the city of Jerusalem. Bible said he beheld the city and wept over it. God, in the presence of Jesus, comes to a city. He looks at the city and he weeps. And my question is, what would make God weep? What makes God weep? What makes God cry? Because the difference between crying and weeping is crying. The weeping is a more painful cry, if you allow me to use that word. It's a cry of anguish. It's a cry of deep regret, of deep pain. And Jesus looked at Jerusalem and he wept. He looked over the city. I don't know what the population of the day was. But let's assume there were 1 million people in Jerusalem at the time. He looked at the city and he was weeping. Why was Jesus weeping? Why was he weeping? He tells us. And he said in verse 42, saying, If thou hast known, even let me read a simpler translation. Mm-hmm. Luke chapter 19, verse 41. We've seen Jesus weeping over the city. And Bible says, he said, if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you and hem you in on every side. They would dash you to the ground, you and your, and the children within your walls. They would not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. If you read it from the King James, it says that because thou knowest not the time of your visitation. So Jesus was crying over the city, was crying for the people, because majority of the people in that city didn't know the time of their visitation. At this time, there were just about 12 apostles. One was about to betray him. There were about 70 plus, or say 120 disciples. In a city of say 1 million people, only 120, let's go with a number, 120 knew, recognized who Jesus was. And Jesus was weeping. The other time he wept was when Lazarus died and when he was at Gethsemane. The three times, and one of the times he wept, it's because the people did not know the table that was set in front of them. The people did not realize the opportunity that they had. Imagine what must have been going on in that day. People were going about their business. People were coming to church and going out of church, but they weren't sensitive to recognize what was going on, that Jesus was present. So my question to you is, do you realize or do you recognize the table that is in front of you? Do you recognize what is in front of you? Because Jesus still dates, he's still weeping. Weeping that we have no clue of what's going on. David sends a message to get somebody to call Mephibosheth. We see the same theme running across the scriptures when we look at the parable of the wedding banquet in Matthew chapter 22. The master sent people and called, invited people. Jesus went about preaching, inviting people, calling people to what? David called Mephibosheth to an opportunity. He had an opportunity to answer a call. But the challenge is that most times in life, we don't even know what the opportunity is. With Jesus, he was the opportunity, he was the way, the truth, and the life. He was calling people to himself. He was calling people to a relationship. He was calling people to from darkness into light. For David and Mephibosheth, the call was a call from poverty to wealth. A call from obscurity back into light. There's always a call on our lives every
in every particular day. Every day there's a call. Let's look at Ecclesiastes. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. What is the difference between the poor and the rich? What is the difference between people who have advanced and people who haven't advanced? What is the difference? Ecclesiastes chapter 9, are we there? If you find it, just can you help me read this as a family time? In this world, fast runners don't win the race.
And the brave do not always win the battle.
The brave do not always win the battle.
The wise do not always earn a living.
The wise don't always earn a living.
Intelligent people do not always get rich.
The intelligent people don't always get rich.
And capable people do not always rise in high positions.
The capable people don't always rise to high positions.
Bad luck happens to everyone.
Bad luck happens to everyone. Can we read another? Can I get another translation? Okay.
The race is not to the swift.
The race is not to the swift. Nor the battle to the strong.
Food
does not food come to the wise. Okay.
Or favor to the learned.
Favor to
the learned. But time and chance.
Time and chance does what? Happens to all of them. So it got me thinking. So the difference between the rich and the poor, the people that are intelligent and who can't still feed themselves, is not that they can't feed themselves, but something came to every one of them. And what is that thing?
Time
and chance. So I started digging a bit. I said, what is this time and chance that happens to everybody? Because the difference between these two sets of people is some, one of them must have taken the time and chance that the other person didn't. Because if we go by ability, those who are strong should win all the time. But how come you're strong, you're educated, you're intelligent, but you're not winning? And God then tells me that because you did not take your time and your chance. Because the same time and chance is made available to everybody. Jesus came preaching the word, calling people. But just a few people received him. And the millions that were living in Jerusalem at the time did not take the time and the chance. God, being a just God, will always present an opportunity to each and every one of us. No wonder the Bible says that the kingdom, Jesus will not return until this gospel has been preached to the whole world. So that nobody will have an excuse to say, I never heard. So I dug a bit deeper. And I said, Lord, what is the difference? Why was it that Mephibosheth took his chance, took his opportunity? And what does he mean by time and chance? And it took me a bit deeper. Can I share with you? There are two words that define time. One is chronos, one is kairos. Chronos talks about its chronological time. It's 10 past 11, it's Monday, it's Tuesday. But kairos is defined as an opportune time. A moment or a season, it talks about opportunity. Opportunity. Let me explain. A lot of people, especially people who are not married, would say, when do I know that it's right time for me to marry? Have you ever asked that question? So my question back to you is, when is the right time to marry? When is the right time to marry? A rhetorical question, think about it. When is the right time to retire? When is the right time to buy your own property? When is the right time to leave your job, to to start a degree. When is the right time to get a degree? There is no chronological time associated with these things. I can't tell you it's Monday the 15th, 2030. I can't say that. But what happens is that you get to a certain point, you just know that it is time to do something. That is what we call kairos. But the sad thing is that these kairos appears to every individual. Jesus came to everybody in Jerusalem, but only 120 recognized who he was. Peter said, "You are Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this, but my Father." So kairos moment happens to each and every one of us. Time and chance happens to everybody. Some of the products that you've seen on the market, you've had an opportunity. There was a time you even thought about it before it was produced by someone else. There were some jobs you saw before other people. There were some people that the person you are married to today, some of your friends saw them before you saw them. But how come you are the person that took the opportunity? Some of the deals you grabbed, some other people saw it and passed over it. The person you are today, some jobs, some companies have not employed you because they passed you over. But somebody found you and found a gem in you and picked you and selected you. So the difference between the rich and the poor is that the rich had a kairos moment and took the opportunity. They had a kairos moment and they stepped out by faith. But let's go to the scripture. Bible says three angels were walking past the house of Abraham. They weren't going to Abraham's house. They were walking past. And what happened? Abraham was sat under a tree. He saw them. He said, "The sun is too much." He had a kairos moment. He could have ignored them, because they weren't looking like they were coming to him. But he said, "No. Why not come into my house? Just have a cup of water. Just have some food and you can continue on your journey." Have you not read that the Bible, where the Bible says some have entertained angels unawares? Kairos moment, you see somebody in need. It has nothing to do with you, and you go like, "Let me help this person." And Abraham had been praying for a child for how many years? The child that God promised him. But the fulfillment of the promise came through a kairos encounter. A kairos moment. Where something just said, "No, let me help this person. Let me call this person. Let me just be a blessing. Let me pray for this person." Mephibosheth had a kairos moment. That kairos moment is what the Lord is saying, a table before you. Mephibosheth could have said, "No, what? I've had a bad encounter with people from Liverpool. My tribe, we are scousers, we don't deal with Manchester people." And he would have missed his kairos moment. Am I talking to somebody?
Yes.
What is it that is stopping you from your opportunity to encounter God? What is it that is stopping you from taking what God has put on your table? Joseph, a kairos moment, in prison, in a dark place, in a difficult place, locked up, banged up. But he meets the butler and the baker. And he had an opportunity to interpret their dreams. He could have said, you know what? I'm also in the same situation as you. How can I give you when I don't even have enough to feed my family? The woman of Zarephath, a Kairos moment. The Shunammite woman, a Kairos moment. The prophet was just passing. She said, you know what? No, I have a spare room in my house. Let me bring this man in. Time and chance happens to everybody. You have had Kairos moments where God was trying to get your attention. Kairos moment means the right and critical and opportune moment for action. Something happened. I don't know if you've ever read Acts of the Apostles chapter 9, verse 7, and Acts of the Apostles 22, 9. I don't know if you've ever read it. The encounter Paul had. In Acts of the Apostles 9, 7, somebody was writing their testimony of Paul. And he said, when Paul was traveling, he was struck by light. He fell down. Bible said, and they heard a voice. Do you see that? They heard a voice. But if you read Acts of the Apostles 22, verse 9, Paul, now writing what really happened, said, God spoke to him, but the people that were around did not hear what God said to him. They only heard a noise. Kairos moment. God is trying to speak to you. And so many other people around you can't hear what you are hearing. You come up with that. God gives an idea to you. A Kairos moment. And people are saying to them, it's noise. They don't understand this concept you're talking about. They don't understand what God is doing. Maybe you're in a dark place in a hospital and God is ministering to you. And people are saying, no, curse God and die. Job had a Kairos moment. God was doing something in his life. So my question to you today is, in light of what's happening to Love Assembly as a church, what is God trying to get your attention to? Because with Kairos moment, you have to understand that there are two parts to Kairos moment. One is, God is trying, what is God trying to say to me? Because it brings us to repentance. So there's observation. You have to observe. Bible said, I went by the land and the farm of a lazy man. It was overgrown with weeds. The walls were broken down. And I observed and I learned wisdom. Your power of observation has to be at the highest.
Yes.
What is happening? Why are these people passing by my house under this hot sun? They have no umbrella. They have no car.
They must be hungry.
Do you know what? I'm going to invite them in. Observation. You must have the ability to observe. Your children. The next minute they are grown, they are gone. And you'll be asking yourself, where are my children? I never had time to spend with them. I never spent time with them. I don't even know them. Kairos moment. Your spouse, you don't value them until they are gone. Kairos moment. The job, that you even have a job, Kairos moment. You must have the ability to observe. You must reflect. You must ask the question, Lord, what are you trying to say to me? At every point, Lord, what Holy Spirit, what are you trying to say to me? Don't neglect the days of little beginning. That could be your Kairos moment. You have everything little, you despise it. That is why you will never amount to anything. It's not because God doesn't love you. He said time and chance happens to everybody. Each and every one of us have equal opportunity with time. What are you doing with it? Are you you must discuss with the Holy Spirit. The next part is planning, accountability, and action. When God has showed you what he's doing, you've sat down, you've observed, you've read the word, you've looked at it. Lord, you're setting a table before me. Okay, the table talks about platform. You're setting a platform. Because I ask you, when you hear the Lord has set a table before me, a lot of us are struggling. So you're thinking of a dining table. But what about people who can afford tables? Are you saying God can set a table before them? Maybe your family eats on the floor. Maybe it's culturally you eat on the floor. That could be your table. Table talks about platform. A platform, an opportunity. Opportunity, platform. So what is the opportunity? You must observe. You must be observant. Why is this happening at this time? Why is this happening? Why is this? Why is this? Why are things happening this way? Because God will always speak to the church first. He will first always speak to the church. Many of you weren't prepared to be here today. But you know God has been preparing you since. But now you can appreciate, you can observe and appreciate what you have or had. You can appreciate that you had a place that you could come at any time and open at any time and go at any time. But we didn't have value with that first. So you must observe. Bible saying in seeing they do not see, in hearing they don't hear. Well, Jesus came to everybody, but very few observed and said, this is the Son of the living God. Must reflect. We must sit down and reflect with the word of God, with the Holy Spirit. What Lord, what's going on? Lord, what have I missed? What am I missing? What happened to Mary and Joseph? A Kairos moment. God put Jesus in Mary. Joseph could have divorced her. Joseph could have put her away. But Joseph did what? Reflected. As he was dreaming, the Lord came to him. He was asking the Lord question. Lord, how is that possible? How can my wife-to-be become pregnant? How is that possible? Lord, what are you trying to say? He must have gone back to the word. A virgin would bring forth a child. Lord, is that virgin my wife? And the angel of the Lord came and answered. I said, don't put her away. Kairos moment. Moses at the burning bush. A lot of us are seeing burning bushes and we are walking away as if we have not seen anything. We should sit back and ask, Lord, what are you trying to say? It could be your marriage. It could be with your children. It could be on your job. Ask the question, Lord, what are you trying to say? What are you trying to get my attention? Because you have to remember the race is not to the swift. You can get 100 meters dash in 5 seconds. Doesn't mean that you can do it. But it could be that there's a time and a chance where God makes something available and say, you know what? Just start eating vegetables. Cut down on your carbohydrate. You're going to run, and just changing your diet could be the answer. You must plan. Bible said, the wise man foreseeth evil and hides himself. As we conclude, Mephibosheth could have stayed where he was. This morning you have a choice. And the two choices set before you is stay where you are and do nothing. Or you can look to the altar and the finisher of your faith and begin to make decisions that will affect your tomorrow. The people that accepted Jesus had their eternities secured. We must be generational thinkers. We must look ahead. In a few years' time, some of us would have retired. Are you taking the opportunity to have a Kairos moment to avert what is in front? I want you to think. Probably you are here, you are not saved. Jesus has been calling you. You've been having opportunities to put your life right. Or maybe we are here as a church because God wants our attention. He's been trying to call us and we've not been listening. I don't know what your Kairos moment is. But time and chance happens to them all. Abraham was a man of faith, the first to pay tithe. He didn't read it anywhere. He just had an encounter. He met somebody. And he said, no, I can't leave this person. Let me be a blessing to this person. He was relational. I want you to bow down your head. I don't know what I've said to you. I don't know what the Holy Spirit has said to you either. God told us, show up. We showed up. God said, have the right table manners. We have the right table manners. But this morning, God is saying, do you recognize what the table is? Do you know what your table is? Do you know what your Kairos moments are? An opportunity. An opportunity to eat with the King. An opportunity to be a blessing to somebody. An opportunity to change your destiny. The apostles changed their destinies forever by believing Jesus. What are the opportunities that you've missed? What are the regrets that you have? Are you going to continue living in regrets? Are you going to take action and say, Lord, I'm not going to end the way my father ended. A Kairos moment to make my marriage like your word says. A Kairos moment to raise my children the way you want me to. A Kairos moment to treat people the way you want me to. An encounter with somebody, could be a beggar on the street. A Kairos moment. That I want you to take this opportunity and say, Lord, what I have is today, I'm not sure of tomorrow. What are you going to do with today? Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you because we see Job. We see David. We see the men of old who have run ahead of us. And one thread that runs parallel across generations is the fact that these people were able to identify God. Have you not said you're a God who hides himself, you hide yourself? Lord, may we find you. May we find you at every singular opportunity. A Kairos moment. He said, when men abuse you, slap you, mistreat you, bless them. Do good to them that hate you. A Kairos moment to not repay evil for evil. Father, we pray this morning that, I just pray that you help us to understand the table that you set before us. The platforms that you've given us, the opportunities that we have. And Lord, as we reflect, Lord, help us to take the right action. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Father, we thank you for the word that you brought to us today. Father, we thank you for your son who has shared the word that you've given to him for us, oh God. Father, we pray that even as you have spoken through you, God, Father, we pray that you would water him back, oh God, and we wouldn't just be hearers of your word, but be doers in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for speaking to us more, and we thank you for showing us the things to come, and we thank you for giving us strategies, instructions, and we thank you for the heart to be obedient, the heart to follow, oh God. We thank you for where you are taking us to, Lord. We thank you, God. We thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Good afternoon, everyone. The ushers are going to be passing a blank envelope around. So can you please write your gift aid number on the envelope? If you don't know your gift aid number, just put your name on the number. And also sign the envelope as well. And write the amount you're giving. So it's very important, if you're a UK taxpayer, please sign the envelope, put your gift aid number. If you don't know the number, just put your name and make sure you sign it with the date as well. I'm going to invite Aunt Sapphire. She blesses us. Amen. Just a quick announcement. Next Sunday is our Thanksgiving and Welfare Sunday. So we can bring cash, kind, food to the table. So anything you want to give someone. So let's bring it next Sunday, Thanksgiving and Welfare Sunday. And this Thursday is going to be our communion service. So it's a family service. So bring all your family. And on Friday, we have our... So it starts at 7, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. And on Friday is our prayer service. And it starts at 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. So I'm going to invite Pastor to come and